Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 28th of June, recording at 9:25 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly weaker, although Japan was a notable exception, up 1.65% for the Nikkei, and we also had quite a strong Japanese banking section, and also the second section index. Now, in Europe, we had mostly a down day, although the declines were pegged somewhat towards the close, and both, interestingly, and perhaps significantly, both Spain and Italy closed with small gains here today. The UK FTSE 100 was down 0.5%. In the Americas, well, we had a lot of volatile activity here. Wall Street was quite weak at one stage and then recovered practically everything. The S&P still ended down a couple of points, nearly 3 points, but that's only 0.21%. And the Dow had a similar decline, slightly more for the NASDAQ. We saw modest gains in Canada and Mexico, Brazil down a little bit. Now, long-dated government bond prices were modestly firmer and off the highs that we'd seen earlier in the day. The U.S. dollar is very slightly firmer. The euro is down to 124.45. Sterling's down to 155.14. And the Aussie's back to just a fraction above the parity 100 level. In precious metals, well, it was a rough day. We had some significant declines. And gold, actually gold got dropped down to 1548, so getting close to those lows that we saw last year in September and December. It then bounced a little bit, but as I speak, it's at 150. It's at 1555, and that's down nearly $19. Now, silver also declined quite sharply at one point, fell down to 2610. That is currently 2639. That's down 61 cents. Palladium down $15. Platinum down $21. So quite weak. The precious metals declines are also repeated by a number of the industrial metals and crude oil. Crude oil had been declining pretty much all day, closed near the lows. Correction on that. It recouped, I see the WTI recouped a dollar of its losses, but it's still down 181 to 78.40. And Brent has slipped a couple of dollars to 91 and a little bit of change. The grain and bean complex, which has been so strong recently, saw a little bit of respite here, a little bit of profit taking, but only small declines today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, you're probably tired of hearing about it, and I'm tired of saying it, but the whole world is enthralled to this European situation. And there's a lot of speculation regarding expectations and a lot of rumors flying around. Incidentally, the U.S. recovery that we saw from its sharp decline earlier on in the day when the S&P future got down to 1307, as against 1322 right now. But as the recovery occurred, it is attributed, at least by a news story on Bloomberg, to some optimism that some sort of positive action would come out of the summit. Well, it's my guess that some positive action will come out of the summit or over the weekend. Don't expect any kind of dramatic resolution to the crisis. That's going to take years. But the key thing is to change the direction. Whereas there's a widespread perception today that the crisis is actually worsening. And it's not too difficult to understand why, when program after program that is brought in, support, mostly form various different stopgap measures, support programs, all prove, at least, or approved by the markets, to be inadequate a day or two after they're announced. Now, in terms of investor sentiment, I think we're going to have more turmoil in this European situation until we get to a point where investors switch from a glass half empty to a glass half full. It won't be quite as dramatic as that, no doubt, but they need to think that actually, you know, Europe has turned a corner and it's got a long way to go, but it's got the right degree of agreement and consensus, and it's building on constructive policies towards not only political but fiscal and banking union. Now, will we get a nudge in that direction over the weekend? I hope so. And I think it's not an unrealistic possibility, although that's a minority view, as you will appreciate at this stage. And therefore, markets remain extremely nervous and have given up a little bit more of the rally that we saw during the first 3 weeks of June. Now, in every one of these broadcasts, I've mentioned, and I'm sure Owen has mentioned, that those June lows are really important. They represent the first obvious support level. More important than that, we can't get a big sell-off without taking out the June lows. So as long as the June lows hold, I would, the door is still open to some additional recovery, which would no doubt be led by Wall Street and the ASEAN stock markets. But if we see these markets take out those June lows, then sentiment is going to deteriorate, and we will see another sell-off unless it's just to touch them and then turn right around. And Wall Street's a crucial market in all this. If Wall Street takes out those June lows for more than on the indices for more than a day or two, as I said a moment ago, I think sentiment will deteriorate, and it'll be more deja vu all over again, to quote Yogi Berra, because that's just what happened in July, August, and part of September last year. Now, the other point to make is what happens thereafter, you know, towards the end of the year. And I have been saying that I felt that even if we see those June lows taken out, that there's a reasonable chance, good chance even, that we would see higher stock market levels by year end, as we saw in 2010 and also in 2011. But for that to actually occur, some things have to start going right. There has to be a change in perceptions regarding Europe so that people say, well, it's less bad, actually, than we had feared in June and earlier. And we need to see more of a stimulus from the China-led growth economies. And we need to see a continued monetary accommodation from the Western economies. I think that will certainly occur. My concern is that central banks in the growth economies are not reacting quickly enough. And I've said that on a number of occasions. Central bankers tend to be reactive. They tend to fight the last battle, and that was against inflation. But the big drop in crude oil has really lowered that inflation risk considerably. And even more importantly, it is on its own a very significant stimulus for the oil importing countries. Now, you don't see that reflected in economic data in the short term, but we should certainly see it reflected by the fourth quarter of this year. So that's probably the most important thing that has occurred, and that's why I will remain hopeful that we have a realistic chance of seeing higher stock markets by year end. But that is by no means a guarantee. It's not a high conviction forecast, and one of the reasons it's not a high conviction forecast is because there are so many uncertainties over Europe, and also because we still are in a global economic slowdown, and also because we are in a global economic slowdown, that will mean inevitably that there are going to be some corporate profit downgrades. And I'm not sure that the market has factored all of that in just yet. So we've seen better environments, put it that way. Now, what about this precious metal situation, particularly gold? We're near the lower side of a trading range, and we're uncomfortably close to those September and December lows for bullion. I've been of the view and remain of the view that this is a support building process overall, but you know, in these bottoming out processes, so often you don't really get the move to the upside until you see a downside failure. In other words, the bears. And the bears have been in charge on gold overall really since the accelerated peak up in August and September of 2011 when it peaked. So the bears may well have another go at pushing this a little bit lower overall. And also with fears over the European situation running high, people talking about this being Europe's Lehman, which doesn't help sentiment exactly, does it? What they fear is that we get more of a general overall asset liquidation phase. Now, that is a risk, and no doubt about it. And until I see a new uptrend established for gold within this present range, and that's my forecast, that over the second half of the year we would see a ranging uptrend established. But until I see that, I'll be keeping my fingers crossed here, and the risk of a little bit further move to the downside cannot be ruled out. I don't think there's a big risk to the downside unless I've grossly underestimated the degree of panic that's likely to occur in markets. Now, you know, this is not easy in this environment overall, but my best guess, and it really is a guess, is that we're either in that support building phase in the midpoint of this long medium term correction for gold, similar to what we've seen following previous accelerations to the upside, and therefore that there's a whole lot more upside over the next 6 months, and particularly over the next 18 months, than there is downside. And on that note, I'll say all the best to all of you.